everybody is creative. This is something that's inherent to every human being. I didn't ask you to play guitar or to paint the Mona Lisa. That was totally not the point. Creativity is the process of having original thoughts that have value, and that's it.
From the city of Peaky Blinders, Birmingham, England, I would like to introduce you to Paddy Dandar.
As the world becomes more automated and the robots take over, it's imperative that we build the right human skills for the future. So pull up a chair, grab a smoker or two, and make yourself very uncomfortable. So just for the listeners who don't know what you do, could you just give us a quick 30-second overview?
I call myself a facilitator, which is a combination of facilitator and entertainer. I told you before, entertainment is something that's very important for myself, and I support others, like educators and facilitators, trainer, so the whole spectrum in just getting better in what they do. However, my aspect is more of the engagement part and the technical part. So maybe I cannot make you a better teacher or a better facilitator, but that's totally not my point. If you are a facilitator or if you are an educator, I can help you with the right tools.
So Saeed, which superpower would you like to bring to this particular episode?
I think I'm a creative guy, so I think creativity, but I can only choose one, right? So otherwise I would say creativity and entertainment.
Yeah, let's do that. I think that's cool. We should combine the two, and I myself love those two topics as well. So it's going to be quite interesting if we explore those two mixed together. And why is creativity such a big part of what you do?
First of all, everybody is creative. This is something that's inherent to every human being. It's just how you define it. And for me, I just live with it. I say, I am creative and I'm proud of it. And it manifests itself in many different ways. When I do something, oh, this was creative. For example, when like cooking, I like to cook, but it's not about eating it afterwards, but it's about the creative process of putting things together. I don't know, you have this vegetables that look boring, throw them together, you spice them somehow, and then you have something original as an outcome. And you change little things in the process and you have a totally different outcome. And especially for me, I don't like to use recipes. I think rarely use them. It's just, okay, while doing, trying out things and then seeing or tasting how the outcome looks at the end. I think it's a very great way to just explore yourself, to see what you are capable of if you just trust yourself. And it doesn't always work out, but yeah, that's part of life. Not everything you try in life works the way you want it, but most of the time, okay, this didn't expect it, was nice. But cooking is of course only one thing where the creativity comes to play, but it manifests in everything. If you think about it, it doesn't matter what you do, it's always like this creativity involved. You just have to recognize it, and once you do, for me it really helps me to have fun with myself. Just doing something and being surprised by myself or being surprised of whatever happens at the end of it.
So take me back to your childhood when you look back at yourself at, say, the age of 10, 12 years old. What was a young Saeed like? And at what point did you realize that you had this kind of extra superpower of creativity? Because I see a lot of your work on LinkedIn and social media, and it's super creative, really fun, entertaining. And I think that's not something you just build overnight. So I'm interested to know, at what point did that muscle start to build?
I think I've always been this way, so as far as I can recall, of course. And so if I look back to, let's say, like childhood, and I don't know, it's time in school, I'm about 1 meter and 90 centimeters. which is very tall. But as a child, I think I was half of this size. I've always been the smallest. I've always been the lightest. I've always been the kind of the weakest. Everybody was like two heads larger than me in class. I've always been the youngest. So if you are not the strongest, you may need a different superpower to stand out or to whatever. And for me, which is another form of creativity, is humor. If you can fight them, then you make them laugh, for example. Or this is the way you, I don't know, interact with people. If you are somebody who's literally not visible because everybody looks above your head, don't not see you because you're just smaller than everybody else. I looked like a 12-year-old until I was in 10th grade. People always confused my age. So using this creativity in the way I spoke, in the way I just made my jokes, always have been the class clown and just to stick to the topic, humor is the purest form of creativity you can have, because you just, again, you take words that everybody know, and then it's about pronunciation, it's about how you emphasize them, it's about how you throw them together to make them like something that's entertaining or fun or something that's deep and profound or whatever. We have the same dictionary, but there are people who have this power of seeing something and then creating something humorous out of it, or a poem or whatever. And then there are people who just see the words by themselves. And for me, it was something natural, which probably I developed because of the circumstances I just described to. Later on, it also manifested in, of course, other things. But I think the humor part is the thing I remember. I always like to make others laugh. What could I say next that would annoy the teacher and make the class laugh?
Oh, I love it. And that just got me thinking a little bit of when I was growing up, and I moved from a town called Warwick, which was a very nice, lovely, beautiful, friendly place, to a crazy city like Birmingham. And that was a point at which I started high school. And the school I went to was really tough. It was actually the worst performing high school in the whole of the UK the year that I left, and probably down to me, I don't know, maybe. But it was not a good school academically. And it was a type of school that there was a lot of bullying. If you're the new kid, you would probably end up being picked on in a fight as such. But I also remember when I joined, because I joined the school a little bit late, that humor was my secret weapon as well, in that anytime there was any heat, the way I would get over that is through some form of humor. And often it was humor about myself or just to distract people and take their focus in a different direction. And I think that's lived with me as well, especially when now I do some public speaking. I find that humor really helps. So I can absolutely resonate with what you're saying there.
I can also know that you're saying it. I can totally relate. Sometimes you have to laugh yourself out of situations, and also being self-ironic. I can laugh about myself the whole day. Sometimes I do things that, oh my God, this was so silly. Also, I can laugh about it literally. And if I can laugh about it, right, I just take away the chance for others to laugh. Is it at me, or they cannot laugh at me? They can only laugh with me, which just makes it way easier, because I don't take myself serious, so I don't care about your maybe darker opinion about myself, because I know I have my flaws and I know I have my things I have to struggle with, but I know them and I can joke about them, and life moves on. Life is too short to be serious the whole time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And as we talked a little bit about creativity at the start, you mentioned we're all creative in some way and every job has an element of creativity. Mm-hmm. Could you give us some of the examples that you were thinking about there, especially some of those jobs that traditionally aren't seen as very creative? I'm thinking about maybe software engineering or just general management.
Don't you think that if you're a coder, for example, somebody who is a software engineer, is creative? You take like ones and zeros, literally, right? Or you take this code, which nobody can see, but you can just like in the Matrix, you can see the lady with the red dress, but everyone else is just seeing as like letters and words and code. So I think this is creative. It's what, how you translate things that are not obvious for others in your brain. And also just having the vision of, yeah, I'm creating that. Just simply, I'm creating this button and it has this feature. And creativity comes from the word creating, or from the Latin word for creating. So just create something out of something totally different that then has value. We often confuse creativity with being artistic. I'm not creative. Yeah, I didn't ask you to play guitar or to paint the Mona Lisa. That was totally not the point. But that's what we think, or what people in general think. Oh yeah, but I cannot draw. You are a visual designer. I cannot draw. How often did you hear this statement? Yeah, but it's not about how good you can draw. It's just, okay, you have something in your head and you will put it on the paper. And it's not about are the lines all accurate, but just how to put whatever's in your head into something that's visual, and especially visual for others. And you can be a creative plumber if you like. I think it really doesn't matter which or job or profession or which industry you are. It's just about the way, how do I define creativity for myself? What's the value I generate with my ideas or with my thoughts? And I maybe quoted this too often this week, but my favorite definition of creativity is by Sir Ken Robinson, rest in peace. It's creativity is the process of having original thoughts that have value. And that's it. It's a process. Right, it's not, okay, I wake up in the morning and there it is. You have to work on things, or you start in work in iterations, and it has value it can be valuable for you. And even originality, it doesn't have to be original for the whole world. It doesn't have to be new, and just something that wasn't there before that's already original. Even if it's just for me, I haven't done this before. This is original, and this is by this definition, it is creative. So just think about whatever you are doing at the moment. So whoever is listening, okay, do I create something that's original in my little circle, that's out of value, and that took me just time to get there from the original thought in my brain to something that others can experience or see or then understand? Yeah. What's your vegetable and what's the meal at the end you created with it?
I love that TED Talk by Sir Ken Robinson, the one that you mentioned, Why Schools Kill Creativity, I think is the name, right? So many golden nuggets in that talk. And I'd love to know how your mind works, because I'd love to get inside your brain a little bit. Okay, so when you're creating your creations and the things that you do, A, how do you get your inspiration? How does it come together? What's a thought process you go through? Is there a blueprint that you've got almost for yourself? Is there any tips you can share for others in terms of that approach that you take?
I wouldn't probably recommend doing it the way I do it, because there is no blueprint. It's even hard to describe for somebody who don't live inside my brain. It's hard to describe what's happening inside it, right? So I don't have a process. There is a process, but not as, if you're a process manager, you wouldn't say that it isn't one, but there is some kind of things going on in a certain order, probably, if you want to call this a process. But to me, it's just, I get inspired very easily. Sometimes I see something somebody, or I hear something somebody says, or I watch a video on YouTube totally not related to whatever I'm doing. And then there is this one sentence or this one word, oh, that's funny. And it just connects with something else. So just having, okay, this thing connects with this thing I was working on. And that's the starting point. From there, I get the most creative, where there is no procrastination in creativity for me. I start immediately. Oh, I got a wild idea and I have to put it out, or I have to put it on paper or in digital form somewhere. I have to create something, just to have it outside of my brain, to not forget it. And while I have this inspiration for the moment, there will be other thoughts that will follow. So if I wait for it for 2 weeks and then I'll get back to this idea, it will not be the same outcome. But sometimes it's 3 a.m. in the morning. And then I'm listening to one of my favorite podcasts, or I'm watching something, or I'm, whatever I'm doing. Oh, and then I just start immediately doing something, whatever it is, you know, and just having at least a mock-up of my thought in a visible form. And from there on, it's just trial and error. Can be sometimes exhausting if you have this, if you have something in mind that doesn't work out the way you want it. On an, okay, this is all, I'm not allowed to curse on your podcast, but F this, and then start from zero, right? Start again, but this time I start differently because I know, okay, this didn't work out. Maybe I start more, then I start to create things more structured. But first is everything has to be out there, all the little ideas, all the, not literal, but all the sticky notes and little words and whatever has to be visible for me. And from there, I start sorting my thoughts. I can, it's hard for me to sort things inside my head because they're just overlapping. So having my own little mind, crazy mind map, brainstorming with myself. And from there on, it iterates until, okay, this looks kind of an MVP. And I'm not talking about the technical MVP, but this looks like something that makes sense. And then comes the details and all the refinements and other things. I often start with a pun, with a joke, because I like comedy. I like others making me laugh, just like I make, like to make people laugh. And sometimes it's a pun. It's just a wordplay. Like, oh, this is funny. And then I start creating something around this. Like, how can I use this in some form to do something with it? I want this little joke, but it's just as a word, it doesn't make any sense, but I have to create something to give it context, or I have to name something after this little silly wordplay. It doesn't make any sense, but for me, oh, this is funny. Let me connect it with something that has actually value so I can laugh about it. And when things entertain myself, I'm very egocentric when I do things. And I have to be entertained first. If I can't laugh about it, if I don't find it like entertaining in some way, I probably won't share it, even if I think, yeah, maybe others. No, it's me first, and then comes the rest, at least when it comes to these things. So, yeah. But it is not really a process, really hard to describe, and I don't think that I'm the only one out there. And if you have, I know, kind of ADHD light or scattered brain or whatever, when you have too many thoughts at once, at some time, the two thoughts will just touch. And then you have something new you can just, again, start with.
And do you find that having an end goal in mind helps, or it actually is a hindrance? So what I'm thinking is, you know, sometimes we can think of like some crazy creative stuff, but if there's no purpose at the end of it, then that could just be a passing thought. But if you're more intentional about what you're creating because you have something in mind, does that help or not?
Not sure if it helps others. For me, I rarely have the outcome in mind. I just trust in myself. Okay, this could be something, or I'm up to something. I'm not talking about innovation. Sometimes, okay, this is just something that could lead to something else. I just start and see how it evolves. And in the non-existent process, I think that there are just little moments where the value appears. It's again another thought, oh, this could be valuable for this and this. Or if I do it this way, I could create something that has purpose for somebody or for myself. So having things without no purpose, I think that's maybe just art. Even art has purpose. It's inspiring people, for example. So there's always of a purpose. But if I work towards it, to me, it's harder. Because then I have kind of a box. Of course, you should always have a box to work in, but still, okay, I'm working towards this, and it can be frustrating for me. So, okay, I have to reach this goal, or I have to reach this outcome somehow. And it makes just the steps in between very hard and difficult. But if I just trust and try out, of course, there's a moment where, okay, is this something? Or isn't it something? Can this lead to something that has value? But it doesn't always have. Sometimes it's just doing things for fun. Like I said, with the cooking part, I just was entertained for an hour, right? Doing this thing that has no value, no purpose to nobody. But I think watching a Netflix series also has no value to nobody, right? It's just 1 hour of entertainment or even just turning off your brain. So there is that just. And training, exercising. With every little exercise you do, no matter what the outcome is, it's an exercise. Oh, you strengthen, your muscles become bigger, or your brain just learns how to think in this creative ways, or to just be wild, or just to, you learn something just from the process itself, regardless of what the outcome is. But in a perfect world, of course, if it's also something useful at the end of the day, even better. If not, yeah, I enjoyed the road, and also fine. Like others do other things that I don't understand. I don't know. Whatever it is, if you play a certain sport, I don't get it. If you read a book for 3 hours, it's like fictional, I don't get it. Are you wasting your time with reading stories about other people? Yeah, but it's totally fine if this is something that helps you, calms you down, or adds any value to your life. So for me, this is just kind of a hobby, just doing these things. It's often it's just hard to stop it. When you feel the urge to do a certain thing, then you just do. If you start to draw, yeah, then you just start to draw. Maybe it just calms you down. Maybe it helps you in any other way. So yeah, even if you don't sell your drawings at the end of the day, right?
Sometimes you just need that time and space to explore ideas, and you're just trying to, as you mentioned earlier, just experiment and see what comes out of it. And do you find there are certain times of the day, certain activities that help you be more creative?
Yes. So I think I'm most creative towards the end of my day, and which is often very late, so after midnight, because probably I'm just processing the day. And then all the things that, you know, when you are working or you have meetings or do other things, maybe you don't have the time to process everything you heard that day or everything you've seen that day. And once you just relax, and then certainly all the thoughts that you had before maybe come up, and then that's where I can be the most creative and then start something. Sometimes I don't go to sleep until I finished it, or until I say, okay, I can, this is something, no, I can go to sleep and work on it tomorrow, or don't. No, I'm satisfied. I can go to sleep. And also getting things out of my brain. Before I go to sleep, okay, I need to get rid of this so I can just fall asleep easily. And even if it's not valuable, but I have it outside of my brain, and I know, okay, this didn't work, or it didn't make any sense, or what a stupid thought I had. But then it's just out there, and I have more space for something else. And what helps me is I like to listen to music. If you rarely see a picture of me without wearing my headphones, even if I don't listen to music, I don't know. It's just a habit. I have them on. Sometimes they just warm my ears for no reason.
I was going to say, Said, I don't think I've ever seen your ears. So that might be true, actually. Oh, there we go. He definitely has ears. Wait.
I got two of them. But this is something that makes me laugh again. I record myself, you know, because I do a little video or something. Then at the end of the day, when I start editing, it's why were you wearing headphones? You weren't talking to nobody. You weren't listening to anything. Why do you have the headphones? But it's just a habit. But the music in general just calms me down, or it cheers me up. It's to both ends of the spectrum. And I've searched certain music that I like, or certain songs, and I've played it. Okay, this is just the songs that where I know, yeah, they give me a certain feeling or remind me of something, and it's automatically playing the same 7 songs over and over again, for example. And lyrics, again, because somebody says something. I listen a lot to rap. I talked about language and humor before. Wordplays. There is rhyming things. Like, oh, this is genius. This is intelligent. I'm not talking about like hard rap or something. Just the way people use words to create something that is, I don't know, fun, or it just rhymes in a certain way, or has a certain rhythm. Wow, this is just, again, creativity. And then having a beat over it, so it makes it perfect thing. So listening to creative things. And the other thing is, I like to watch comedy. I like to watch a lot of comedy, again, because of I like to laugh and because I like the language. Just there are comedians out there who are very creative and intelligent in what they do. So I often say, wow, this, just the way you set up this joke and the word plays and the way you pronounce the single words to make them sound different and to create such a feeling or and now I'm just listening to this while I'm doing something on my PC or while I'm writing something, a text, or while I'm editing something, or while I'm thinking about, okay, what else could I post, record, create, whatever. So yeah, just listening to other people's words, maybe, so in general, that helps me.
So you shared there some of the ways in which you get inspired, and you mentioned comedy, the way that rap music, for example, also has an impact. How important is it in terms of the people that you engage with and the types of people that you surround yourself with to help you be more creative? Does that play a part or not?
Sure. There are people that unconsciously push you, not only in creativity, but that make you think. If I share the same sense of humor, for example, again, or if they understand my humor, then okay, this is somebody I can deal with and this is inspiring. So, and of course, in general, people are sympathetic, or you have sympathy for or empathy for, that helps a lot. And there are most impactful are random conversations. If we just have a coffee chat, this is literally a coffee chat we're having, right? We're talking about random things. So you never know what is in people's head until they say it, or until you say something and they respond to it and they go, oh, I haven't thought about this aspect of my little thing. I just a side note. I told you something and then I said, oh, this is interesting. I did something similar, but I did this and this. Okay. I haven't thought of this, which then again, no, it's a spiral. I add something to it in my head or out loud. Okay. This inspires me for something else. When I have coffee chats, which I have tried to have regularly, even with people I didn't know before on LinkedIn, for example, if I have contacts, I like to just have a virtual coffee chat with them, like getting to know each other. And often I write down things that are totally not related to what the other person said. You say something, oh, this gives me a thought about something. Just write down a word, write down a pun, write down or scribble something just for later, because it just sparked something in my brain that helps me or just made me laugh for the moment. You say something, but I think of a pun about what you said. It was not your intention at all, but to me, oh, I combine it with something. Oh, this is funny. I just write it down and entertain myself and giggle. So yeah, to having people around that you can just openly talk to, where you can be yourself. If I can be yourself, be myself, and you are yourself, the conversations are, of course, different than just if you have a job interview. Nobody ever got inspired during a job interview. I don't think that this happens, right? Because it's just strict and it's just form with the format and it's formal. You know, but having loose conversation with no goal in mind. Back to your question from before, that there is no outcome of a coffee chat. So everything in between is just pure, I don't know, if it doesn't have value, it's fine. But there are, again, nuggets you haven't thought about until somebody said or shared something about them.
And does AI play a role in your creativity at all? Do you use any of the AI tools to help you? Or do you find that, again, they're a hindrance because as soon as you get into something like ChatGPT, it can take you down a rabbit hole.
The only AI tool I use is ChatGPT. I think I'm using it wrong because most of the time I use it to correct my language. Because I'm not a native English speaker, my favorite prompt is please check for spelling, syntax, punctuation, and so on, so that I just get my language right and have the commas at the right place. So this I use this the most. I don't think it's a hindrance. It depends on how you use it. I like to ask her, ChatGPT, to ask me questions. I don't want the answer, because what's the difference to Googling things, or it's too easy. I want you to ask me questions. So for example, I don't know, I'm working on concept so-and-so. What else could I consider? And then, or ask me questions that make sure that, and then it could be, have you thought of this and this? How many participants will be in your workshop? Do you have whatever it is, the question, go, oh, I haven't thought about this, but no, I will. And because I'm just human. So sometimes I question questions I haven't thought of this, rather than give me a concept for whatever it is, right? I will be hosting a podcast for you, and please give me 12 questions I could ask my guest. Could be one thing, but it's simple, right? Or challenge me. Ask me questions so that I'm really aware that, okay, I have thought of everything, or there are things that I haven't thought of, or this is something that I could add or I couldn't add, or I have to do some research, or and so on and so on. So yeah, using the tools right makes sense. I don't like when, because, hey, ChatGPT, please write a post for me. So yeah, just give me the prompt and I can read it myself. So what's your part as a human in this whole process? Doesn't make any sense to me. Humans just take the output and share it with others. No, it should be the other way around. I recently saw one of my favorite podcasts, Star Talk by Neil deGrasse Tyson, where he said, or one of his guests said, instead of asking a question, ask something and then try to figure out what's wrong about this answer. So then use your human brain. Okay. What's wrong about this? There's probably something that doesn't match or doesn't make sense or is missing. So just having a starting point and then trying to prove AI is wrong, just in a positive way. It's not about proving it's wrong because you hate it. Just about, okay, thanks a lot. Now I will use my human brain to go and research things and or have my own opinion on something.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. I think when people use the likes of ChatGPT to almost be lazy. I normally have this t-shirt that says, AI is just an excuse to be lazy. It can be used in completely the wrong way. And I was listening to Neil Patel, a very famous SEO kind of guru out there. And he was talking about if you are going to use any kind of AI, then he used this acronym. It was called DRIVE. And I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what that stands for in its entirety. But one of the letters was all about the human side, and it was whatever is in there. Now bring your personal story, bring your personal insight, bring something that you have that nobody on the planet would have. And that could be a personal story, an experience that you've had, because then you can really make it more interesting. I think the D stands for data, right? So it's great at giving you the data, it's great at giving you that insight. And whatever it comes back with, you've got to proof check it. And so that was another part of the DRIVE acronym. But in there was that aspect of make sure as a human, you have your human touch. Otherwise, it has no life to it. It's boring.
And even if you prove it to be right, but still you did your part of the work. So, and now you are certain that everything is right. You read there and just you can be confident about whatever the outcome was. But who is the tool? Are you in this case, you are the tool, not the AI, right? But always be aware that this is the tool and you use the tool. The tool doesn't use you, or it shouldn't at least use you. And it's not about only laziness, but maybe it depends generation you are. I wasn't raised with Google, but I was maybe generation Google, and internet and at home and Google was a thing. Yeah, we also became lazy. Because you could Google things for school, or you could, if you don't know something, what's the highest mountain in the world? I don't need to know this. I can just Google it, right? Back in the day, people knew these things, or there was a book somewhere that they had to open and look it up. The answer changed once every year when there was a new edition of this book. And today, it's with the younger generation, if you are used to this, the people will not Google anymore. They will GPT things, right? But which is probably, I don't know, I'm just an old man who judges the younger generation. I'm just saying make sure you still use your brain. Otherwise, when these discussions about will AIs take our jobs? And yeah, if your job is typing things into ChatGPT, it will. Definitely. If you don't have any part in this chain of creating things, yes, it will. But then it's not ChatGPT, even an Excel macro can take your job. So don't worry about AI. It's just, okay, what's your value? Which value do you add to this? Otherwise, you will be replaced by something. It doesn't have to be the bad AI. It can be anything if you just rely on other people's thoughts or other machines' thoughts.
I saw another great post which relates to that, actually, Saeed. It was this lady who was talking about when we say, is AI going to take my job? It's kind of the wrong question. The real question should be, which of my skills will it be able to do better? And so rather than just thinking about this is the job I do and can all of that be outsourced, if we start thinking about what are all the skills that I could build and out of those skills, which of them can ChatGPT do better than I, then we can start to explore all these other avenues that we can really add value within. And you mentioned their creativity, right? The whole episode's about creativity. If we're doing a job such as, I'm just going to pick on one profession here, accountancy, because accountancy is probably one of the professions in this world that when we have a fully digital currency, there may be little need for the human intervention as such on much of that. But as an accountant, what can you do really well? Well, if you have that element of creativity, that skill, then there's probably a whole bunch of things you could explore whereby you're no longer the doer, the accountant. You're more of an advisor and you're able to now help clients really understand finance in a whole different way and help them maximize their profits. So it's all about skills, isn't it, in the future and the direction that we're going in at the moment?
Skills and connection, human connection in general. Yeah, it's how old is ChatGPT? I think it's 1.5 years now. Maybe was it end 2022? It feels like it's 20 years now. But because it's evolving so fast and we don't understand it, right? We don't understand simple things, including myself. Just what's an algorithm? Nobody knows what is AI. You don't get, if you ask somebody, yeah, it's a tool, right? Or it's ChatGPT or whatever it is, just understanding what it is, I think, before you start to worry about it. But I'm totally with you about the skill part. So I think there are certain skills that humans have. There's little failures we have. If a machine is designed to be perfect, yeah, okay, fine. But sometimes these little failures can lead to something like the discovery of penicillin, right? Accidents or have vulnerability, I don't know, uncertainty, other things that just force you to think different, or not knowing everything. It also pushes creative. If I know everything, maybe it's harder to be creative or it's harder to create something. But if I don't know everything, then I start thinking about things and I come up with something totally different. Nobody who knows everything would think about. Something that's very basic, but too basic for you who knows everything, right? Or too logical. Sometimes things are irrational. And it's a good thing. Not everything, but sometimes just being irrational and not having all the answers can help, I think, to once in a while. You shouldn't go like irrational through life, but once in a while, just being just human is a great feature we have. Maybe machines cannot clone this. And even if they clone it, they fake it. I know everything, but I will pretend I don't know. Yeah, but that's not the same as literally not knowing things or getting experience over life and experiencing the things. You don't read about swimming, right? You go swim and then it's a different experience than just reading about how swimming works. This way you will never learn it and you will never know how it feels or whatever it is.
Oh yeah, I love that. It's almost like if your friends tell you they've been on this holiday, this paradise holiday to Hawaii, and they're describing it to you, and then you go and tell someone else, oh my God, Hawaii is amazing. It has this, 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 and this. Well, you're telling someone else's story. And in a way, to me, that's how AI feels, because like you say, it's not actually experienced it for itself. So its stories are based on third party, what has been fed into it, rather than it's actually been there. It's swam in that ocean. It actually knows exactly how that feels.
I had sand between my swim shorts and so on. So this is something AI cannot know. But something you may like from the past 2 years or so, I think, what's the Midjourney, for example? I don't use it anymore because I think it's overused. No offense to nobody, but I think it's used for everything. It's used by everybody and there is no quality control. When I sometimes see like posts and go, okay, I can see literally somebody just typed in, I need an image where a man shows on a flip chart. And then whatever the text is, it doesn't make any sense. It's not spelled correctly. It doesn't have any context, but yeah, here you have an image and then you start writing your post or your text for it, or even the text is from AI. It was exciting in the beginning. So all this is always exciting, right? It's this new tool. Let me try out. Oh, how does this work? I just type in words and then it became more realistic the more time you spend in creating something, or fine tuning a prompt, the better the outcome is and so on. However, when I scroll through my feed, for example, I don't even stop because my brain is just an overload. And I saw the same thing like 20 times a day, just in different ways. So, but when I see a hand-drawn little thing, whatever it is, when I see one of yours or there are other visual designers or visual communicators or visual thinkers, oh, this is fun. And this is not only fun because it looks fun or because it's somebody actually took a pen and drew this and then added something to it. And it took her or him maybe 20 minutes to get this. And maybe it was not the first try, but this is the final draft of it. So it is, this is just something human. There is somebody who actually put effort into it. I jokingly just shared an image the other week where it was not an image. It was please enter your own prompt here to create this and this. It's literally the same. You don't need my image. I can just tell you what you would see. Take it, put it in Midjourney, and you will get an image that will look different for everyone. You don't need me to put it there and then share it with you. You can do this yourself, but I cannot draw. So not in the way others do it. So that I admire this and I think of somebody actually put effort into it. And I like it, just like maybe furniture that is old, made from real wood, maybe a little bit from the 70s or however. Maybe it's an age thing. I'm only 40, but still, maybe it's now I think, this has character. This looks better than the one you can buy from, I don't want to name any names, the big stores. We can just buy it and take it home. And then there's one screw missing and they all look the same. You can't see no details, no word, no human ever touched this thing. Then maybe spending a little bit more and getting something that somebody actually crafted. There will be the day where we go back to these things, nostalgica. Oh, remember the days when we used to draw by hand and then you get these, you will like them more and value them more after you've seen the millionth auto-generated image. Just like stock photos, where before AI, I've seen the same thing. I've seen this. Three people in a conference room. I got it. Okay. Different people, same conference room, different perspective. But okay, I get the point. It's the same. It gets very boring, at least for me. I think for others, it will also evolve this way. I cannot stand this anymore. I need something home cooked, rather than having the convenient food.
That's music to my ears. As you know, Grant and I run the Visual Jam and we're forever trying to get people to add some life into their slides. PowerPoint slides, when people are doing their presentation, they all kind of look the same. And like you say, lots of stock images, and it really doesn't deliver that impact that people are hoping for. And I think when you do something a bit different, it jogs people's thought process, gets them a little bit curious. And even if they see some simple lines, hand-drawn lines, there's just something about that for sure.
Yeah.
So if I could give you any superpower to abolish something for 24 hours, Saeed, what would that be for you?
Only one again, right? Time zones. They're so annoying and they make things, I don't know. They make things more complicated. If you really just have for 24 hours, I don't know. Abolishing time zones for 24 hours, it makes me laugh because which clock do you take? which midnight would we start? Yeah, but I think this would make life way easier and it would make the world connect more, would meet more Australians and so on. So that just sometimes it's really hard to connect with people you like, but you cannot meet with them. You cannot even have coffee because it's just your night is their day or your winter is their summer, however. And if I just may add to the list also the mute button and the camera off button, just for a day, see if it makes the world a better place. If not, I'll take them back. Or the unmute button, not so people should be muted when not speaking and also have the camera on by default and just to prove a theory, which makes things better.
Oh, love it. I love both of those. I think, yeah, let's try them out. I think the clock should be your clock. So whatever your time is, we'll all abide by that. And the camera is a really interesting one. I'm not sure what kind of results we'd get, but hopefully people will remember that they can't switch it off. Yeah. Although they could stick a towel in front and could be a workaround. But
okay, yeah, you're right. See, now you're thinking in solutions.
And if people want to get in touch with you, Saeed, what's the best way that they can contact you? And also, are there any resources that you can recommend to people or resources that you're inspired by? Because you've mentioned on this episode, you listen to podcasts, etc. So it'd be great.
Okay. If you want to get in touch with me, so I'm on LinkedIn, Saeed Sadook. You can see my name somewhere in the description, hopefully. And you can also find me on thefacilitator.com, where you can contact me. There's my email address. You can book a coffee chat. They have an open calendar if you want to just have a coffee or conversation with me. That works great for me. Otherwise, I think you will find a way. My name is unique. If you spell it right, you will find me if you look for me. The resources I would like to share or things I get inspired. I just recently started really listening to podcasts, but I would just recommend Workshops Work. It's a podcast by Miriam Heldness. It's all about facilitation and probably 200 episodes or so. So if you're a facilitator or an educator or workshopper, just try it out. It's a lot of fun. And my favorite podcast myself has nothing to do with whatever I do is the Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson. It's about the universe, about physics, about how the brain works, psychology, so many different topics, always great guests. And if I have a second, why I like it is for a very special reason. If you don't know Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's maybe the only astrophysicist that is known to human, to mankind, so a public figure. And his co-host, Chuck Nice, is a comedian. So you have physics and comedy, and then you have maybe an expert about a certain topic. And I just think it's great conversations. I learn something new every day that I will never use again, how black holes work and what gravity is and why do balloons fly and other things that sound obvious. But yeah, sometimes it's just infotaining and a great thing. Yeah. So this would be my recommendations.
Oh, that's brilliant. I will definitely check those two out for myself because I'm a massive podcast fan. So I'm going to be looking those up. Although Miriam is actually going to be on this podcast very soon. So I managed to convince her. So I'm really excited about that. Saeed, I just want to thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to really get to know you, get to see the human side of you that I don't see on LinkedIn, i.e. really hearing about your thought process, the things that inspire you. And it's always good to chat to you. So thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for the invitation. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, we should have a coffee chat very soon, an unrecorded one.
There we go. Yes, we could say what we want for sure. Although I think we said a few things on this one. But no, thank you once again. It's the end of another episode. Thank you so much for listening. Please do connect with me via LinkedIn and drop me a message and let me know your favorite takeaways from the episode. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the Superpower School newsletter so that you can be notified of all future episodes. Simply visit the website www.superpowers.school. Thank you once again.